Raleigh, let me ask you a very important question.
Okay.
Do you sincerely and honestly have any thoughts about this movie?
Yeah. I have thoughts.
Are they interesting?
To me, maybe, yeah. I think so.
Is the movie interesting?
No. Well, interesting. As in, like, you know, it's not boring. Like, I feel like there's a lot of stuff that goes on that could entertain some people. Like, it's not like there's nothing of significance happening. Like, everything that's happening is stupid and dumb, but it's not, I don't know, I feel like some people could really get something from this movie. That is, that
you're screaming for help.
That these dogs are Southern and they can sing.
You're screaming for help.
No, I actually think that's true. I think that the first Fox and the Hound is more boring than this one. Like this one.
Oh, you're so wrong.
No, okay, oh, but my definition of boring versus like good is like this movie isn't good. This movie's terrible.
And it's also boring.
I did.
How dare you say that the first Fox and the Hound is more boring than this?
Because there's so much, like, all right, let me rephrase.
This Please movie, rephrase.
All right, relax. Right. The first Fox and the Hound, it drags a lot.
And this doesn't? The whole movie's a drag.
This isn't a drag.
It's it is, though. Whole movie is about
listen,
it's just the one plot line.
Listen, it's constantly moving.
It takes place in, like, a day.
At a rapid pace.
No, it's not.
Something is always happening.
You're so wrong.
I don't think you understand what I'm going for. Again, I'm not arguing for the movie's good. I'm saying that this movie is always moving. Like, there's never a
Nowhere.
Dull moment. There's, like, little
All
moments.
All of them are dull moments.
You keep interrupting me. I'm not going to be able to finish a fucking thought, Amanda.
Yeah, well, that's your fault. Speak faster.
Just like this movie. This movie is very fast. It's not good. It's terrible.
It's so bad.
But I do have a few thoughts about this movie.
And if you didn't know what movie we're talking about, we're talking about The Fox and the Hound 2. The sequel. There's a sequel.
It's a prequel sequel.
It's a prequel sequel.
But it's
which
still a
we
sequel.
Encountered once again in
Bambi.
Bambi 2. Which is a prequel sequel, right? Because we were thinking, how the hell are they gonna do The Fox and the Hound, a movie that ended in such a sweet note, you know?
Well, it's not sweet. I don't know.
It's
just
sweet.
It ends,
everyone's fine in their own way.
It's a complete story. Right?
Right.
There is nothing that you can add on to it if you go after, because the fox and the hound are not friends at the end of the movie.
Exactly.
They're separated. The fox lives with his fox, Vixie, whatever. And the hound is in love with hunting or whatever. Right? And that's it. Like, the movie's over. You can't do anything more with
yeah,
that.
Yeah, it's a full story. So we were like, how the hell are they gonna do this in a way that, you know, how are they going to do a sequel? How is this going to work?
And you always know with Disney, prequel sequel never fails. All right? So, like, if you need an idea in the writer's room, you just go, we should just talk about them as kids before everything that happened or in between everything that happened.
Before all the other fucked up shit went down.
Yeah.
So that is what we get with this. Todd and Copper are back being kids before the whole thing went down. Actually, they revisit a lot from the first movie. They have that whole scene again where, like, Chief is hunting Todd, like, chasing Todd, and Todd runs into the chickens, and then Amos is like, oh, he's trying to get my chickens. They do that entire thing all over again.
Yeah, well, I feel like however long Todd is at the farm for, they probably did this on a daily basis. Like, the whole Chief chases Todd gets them to run through
and
the chicken
Amos
coop.
And Amos just pulls out his shotgun
Amos
to shoot him every single time.
Yeah, no, I think that probably happened daily. I'd also like to say that most of these Disney movies are very similar, in my opinion, to, like, Tom and Jerry cartoons, where, like,
yeah,
the plot is just, like, one thing chases another thing, and then comedy happens,
I
right?
I agree.
So
haha, funny.
Ha-ha,
people
funny,
fall.
Right?
People chasing other people. Haha.
Yeah, exactly.
So
pie
funny.
To the face. Classic. It's funny.
It's so funny.
That's funny.
But yeah, this is the Hunt and the Found. It's the Hound and the Found 2, the sequel. It's the Fox and the Hound 2, the sequel. This movie, again, like we said, they start as kids. They have their own little friendship. But then, guess what? Copper, who grew up, as we know, to be such a good hunter, is awfully bad at hunting. So he's having a life crisis in his early years of age. For some reason, like, I understand having a life crisis when you're like 20, but no, he's having it very early where he's like, I'm not good at what I'm supposed to do. And it's like, you're like 5. I don't mean to disregard your feelings, but I'm gonna disregard your feelings. You should not be having a life crisis. He's 5 and he doesn't think he's good at hunting. Chief and Amos tell him he's not good at hunting. And there's this fair going on in the city, which they're supposed to participate in as like a hunting duo dog thing. But, you know, Copper sucks at hunting. He's just awful. Every time he tries to smell something, he ends up smelling Todd. Because Todd just has that, like, crazy smell that drives Todd crazy.
Well, he's a fox, you know.
But it drives Copper crazy. Okay. Now, we're back to the
sexual stuff. I mean, I think there's less of that in this movie, for sure. Like, there's less...
It's more of it in my heart.
Insinuation.
It's more of it in my mind than it is in the actual movie. I just know them, and I know that they... They like each other.
Yeah, so because...
I'll say just like because they're kids in this movie.
So because, yeah, you need to watch yourself. The kids we're talking about.
They like each other.
So...
They have holdy hand feelings for each
other. Because the dog, Copper, is not any good at hunting yet, even though he's like... probably like 6 months old in this movie.
Literally. 5 in dog years.
He's not allowed to go to the fair that everyone wants to go to, but that doesn't matter because Todd and Copper go anyways.
Todd breaks him out of his chain and they go to the fair because, ooh, fair, which this fair is like takes like a day. But then when they're in the fair, they're like, oh my god, what are we gonna do? And they find this quintet
group. It's a quintet.
It's a group.
I mean, it's a group.
It's a group. I don't know why I tried to go for the fancier word.
I don't know, because it kind of sounds like a barbershop quartet
a little bit. Yeah, that's why I said that.
Sometimes, but it's
that's
not.
That's why though. I went with quartet. But it's a quintet. It's a group of singing straight dogs. And number one thing you need to know about them is that they are straight dogs. They don't have owners. They sing and they're all straights, which is the conflict of a movie, and that's why you should know it.
I think the conflict of the movie Copper's identity crisis. I think
Copper's identity. Copper... He figures out his identity crisis immediately. He's like, I can sing? Well, now I'm a singing dog.
I think the fact that Copper...
It's Todd and Copper's friendship, and then the fact that he's actually not straight. Yeah,
Copper joins this group and he's not a stray. I don't think it's that big a problem. Like, they tried to make it a big deal, but I didn't feel the gravity.
It's the whole thing of the movie. Yeah. Cash is all like upset
for some reason.
So there's 5 dogs, and one of them is a diva singing dog, whatever. She has a beautiful soprano voice.
Do you remember her name?
It's Dixie. Yeah, it's Dixie. And she has this beautiful soprano voice, but she's a diva and no one likes her. And she, like, does that Trisha Paytas... No.
Don't even.
No, I didn't. She does that thing where, like, she quits every time something goes wrong just to, like, use her talent as, I don't know...
Leverage?
And leverage, I guess. And so Cash, the leader of the group, he's like, oh, well, fuck you. And while they're singing, the 4 of them, they're bombing without Dixie until you hear Lil Copper in the crowd singing with his high-pitched kid voice. He's the young Michael Jackson.
All right, relax.
Of this Jackson 5. He is the Michael Jackson.
Copper is the weak link in the group.
He's Michael Jackson.
He's the worst singer in that group.
He is the Michael Jackson of these Jackson 5 straight dogs. I think that is exactly what they were going for. But
I didn't really think about that, but whatever.
I think it's exactly what they were going for. And so Cash, the leader, he's like, oh my god, we need to get this kid on this. And they sing, and then he's like, Dixie, this motherfucker's about to take your place. And Dixie's like, well, fuck you, now I actually quit. And Cash is like, okay, I'm hiring this little boy to sing in your part, your soprano part, which is an awful business decision, because when he grows older, puberty's gonna hit him, and he's not gonna be able to reach those notes anymore. Awful business decision. You should stick with Dixie. She's a trained singer. She's already developed her voice. Don't hire the kid. Well, also, what's it called? Kid labor laws. Child labor.
Oh, child
this
labor.
This is child laws? Labor.
You'll do this thing where you'll be like, what's this thing? And you won't, like, make any reference or mention of it all. You'll just want me to read your mind.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
I just am not able to do that.
Yeah, you're supposed to do it.
I think Cash isn't looking for Copper to be... And maybe he is, but they didn't do a very good job of showing this in the movie. And Copper is just a part-time replacement.
No, he's not.
Well, I didn't get that in the movie.
He full-on fires Dixie. Dixie was, like, having her tantrum, being like, I quit. And he was like, you know what? You don't even quit anymore. I'm firing you. Copper is replacing you.
I just thought it was, like,
no,
trying to make Dixie come back.
No, he was for real. He was like, he's firing Dixie.
Which also, I'll say that Dixie and Cash are, like, supposed to be in a relationship or something.
They were. They have some romance going on. Know. But I think they're in, like, a rough patch right now.
Yeah, yeah, they are. Pretty bad part of the relationship. But I do like the two scenes where they, like, argue with each other. I like that.
They have chemistry.
I like their chemistry.
Like, it's not one of those, like, it's not... They show really well that they do have chemistry, and they have been through this before.
Yeah, they're
like,
funny.
This is a daily thing.
This is one of the only things that I like about this movie. I like how they fight, and then how the other dogs, like, bet, like, their food on, like, who's gonna win the argument. I don't know.
Because
it's such a common occurrence. Yeah. They're like, oh, who's going to make it out of this one? Five bones on Dixie winning this one or whatever. So I liked that.
But yeah, he full on fires Dixie, hires Copper. But you have to know, Copper is a kid and he just wants to be chasing crickets with Todd. Now, mentioning Todd, he is having his whole own, like, problem in life, his own crisis, because he just wants to be a kid and he wants to be friends with Copper, and they want to, you know, they want to chase crickets and they want to see the fireworks at night or something. But now Copper has a job and Copper is too distracted to be hanging out with the young people. He has to take care of his family now. Copper is a working man now. And
Copper is 5 years old, but he still has a full-time job.
Yeah, he has a full-time job. Cash doesn't give him any free time
for half a day
to chase crickets. Todd can't sing, so they don't put him in the group. They make him wash the dishes. It's this whole thing, and Todd starts to feel like he's being left out, which he is
being left out.
Which is very funny, because if you remember from the first movie, like, we kept saying that Todd has done nothing wrong, and he's just being shit on over and over again. So the creators for this movie, they were like, well, we gotta make Todd do something wrong, so make him be jealous, and, you know.
I don't think that's wrong. I think that's totally
well,
fine.
He rats him out at the end, you know?
Yeah, but, yeah, it's true.
He rats Copper out.
He does.
So he does do something wrong. This is
snitches.
He snitches. But,
didn't even get any stitches.
Well, maybe later from that bear
you're
that
supposed
attacks
to get
him.
Snitches. Oh, yeah.
Maybe
has some
from
of those.
The bear that attacks him later.
Yeah, but that doesn't happen for a long time. But
well, it still happens. You know, sometimes karma takes a long
karma
time.
Karma takes a while sometimes.
Sometimes. But sometimes it is instant karma. Anyway, so then, what happens? So Dixie is revengeful and a bitch. So she, before they're about to perform, after she's, like, fully been replaced, she gives Copper peanut butter to eat before, because for some reason, she couldn't have given him, like, chocolate or cheese, which is what actually fucks up your throat.
Dick move, Dixie.
But she gives him peanut butter because peanut butter sticks to your teeth.
Well, you need a visual representation of him not being able to sing,
yeah,
right? So the peanut butter getting stuck to the top of his mouth, I think, is fine way to, like, show.
Better if you really want to fuck him over, give him a pizza.
Just, like, kidnap him.
Give him a spicy pizza and they won't...
I said just kidnap him. That's what they should have just done. They should have just kidnapped him, and then he wouldn't have been able to sing because he wouldn't have been there at all.
It hit me so late after you said it.
Okay, just kidding.
I was going on like how cheese and spicy food are bad for singing, and you were like, just kidnap him. Just kidnap him.
Just
give him to Amos.
Yeah, give him back. I mean, that wouldn't be kidnapping. That'd just be like returning him to his owner.
True,
I'd say like kidnap him and like put him in the bus. You know, the bus that they, the like trailer, whatever.
Put him in the tiger cage.
Well,
that's smarter.
I would just say, just kidnap him. And then he won't be able to sing because he won't be there.
But it's a kid's movie and they can kidnap people. Well,
they could have.
They have kidnapped animals in other movies.
Well, but Dixie isn't like a full out, like, super villain. Like, Dixie is supposed to be the antagonist.
She is the antagonist.
But she's not like Radigan or Captain Hook or anything. She's not gonna like kill people. She's just jealous of Copper replacing her, and that's fine. So she just gives him a little peanut butter, and that doesn't even do anything, by the way. Todd totally figures it out and like is able to just,
Todd's
like,
the one that figures it out. He steals, he, it's so funny. So he goes because he's like, okay, I know how to figure this out. Because he finds Copper struggling with the peanut butter while he's about to go on stage. And Todd's like, okay, I know how to figure this out. So he goes to find Widow Tweed, his owner, which now we know her name is Widow Tweed. I'd never got the Tweed part before.
I said Widow Tweed, but...
I knew her name was Widow, but I didn't know Tweed was part of it.
I wonder if that's actually her first name, or if she just lost her husband and they just call her Widow Tweed.
Yeah, just call her.
Her name is Tweed, but they just call her Widow because, you know, that's a part of your identity now.
Yeah, you're a widow now. But so Todd goes to find Widow Tweed, who is like winning a cow milking competition.
You know, she's got a pie, Slater, and, you know, she's doing a lot of things.
She's doing the cow milk right now, cow milking, and she, it's funny, because, like, I see that, and you're like, okay, so he's gonna go get the milk. No, he's gonna go get the whole cow, so he can shoot from its, what's it called?
Udders.
Udders. So he can shoot milk into Copper's mouth from the cow's udders. And it's like, okay, you could have just gotten the milk in a bucket.
Look, you need another visual representation.
You don't need...
And that's squirting the milk directly from the udder into Copper's mouth.
You
all right,
don't
how
need
else
the
are you going to get the fox to like shotgun the milk into his mouth, okay? He has to get rid of it. He can't just drink it. That's boring. Drinking, all right? You got to like shoot the milk. Right?
He
That's
does.
Way more interesting.
That's
I would have been so bored
to
if Todd brought back like a bowl of milk from the cow, and then Todd just like licked it.
I guess it's easier for Todd to just bring a cow than it is to bring a bucket that's like bigger than him.
Yeah, and well, yeah, easier to bring a cow than a bucket. Yeah, well, I don't know, just,
well, he's not carrying the cow, he would have to carry the bucket.
Just comedy, you know,
he's walking the cow.
It's funny, haha, look at the milk squirting in his mouth.
Like, it's funny, haha. So then Mr. Copper is fine, he's fine, so he goes to sing. Dixie's like, what the fuck, How did this happen? But whatever. She has like a cat sidekick that tells her how everything happens. But Copper's fine. He sings. And then Cash smells him. He's like, you smell like peanut butter. Which, again, stupid. He would smell like milk. That milk fell all over his fur. He would smell like milk. He wouldn't still smell like peanut butter.
The idea is that Cash figures out that there was peanut butter in his mouth, and he just assumes it was Dixie, because it was.
Because it was.
And then, okay, that happens. They keep singing. Todd gets jealous.
Keep singing.
They keep singing. They sing the whole movie.
Yeah, that's true. The whole movie just has every... So, this movie's so obscenely Texan for some reason, which they're not in Texas. We know this because in the first movie, there's a huge bear, and I don't think there's... bears in Texas like that.
No, there aren't.
But they're not in Texas, but these five singing dogs, they are so, especially Dixie. Dixie's the most Texan
Dixie
of them
all. Dixie is so unbearably Texan. Every single...
Or just like Southern, just straight up
just
Southern.
The most Southern, but it's like a specific Southern. It is like Texan. It's not like, live
in
the
South.
I don't
know the difference.
And the difference is that is Texan, and it's terrible. It's so hard to listen to. It's the most stereotypical, and I said this earlier. I said that the writing team at Disney for this movie probably had no one from the South, but they wanted to write a movie about the South for some reason, because they needed someone to play the banjo and, like,
Southern songs. Yeah, there's a banjo playing the entire... There's the always the one guy that owns the Stray Dog singing group. He's always playing a banjo. Like,
yeah.
Every 5 minutes,
but
he just pulls out his banjo and starts playing.
All of those dogs... All five of the singing strays that aren't Copper, they all say, and especially Cash and Dixie, because they have the majority of the lines in this movie, they, every, like, couple of sentences, always use some, like, Southern metaphor, which is, like, the most stereotypical thing they do, like, that's as funny as a cat in a hot tin roof, you know, like, they do that.
Not a cat in a hot tin roof.
Look, I didn't know, I've just thought something at the top of my head, but they do that constantly. Throughout the movie, and they have the most Texan accent. It's terrible to listen to. It's unbearable. It's the worst part about this movie, and it's the biggest note that I have about this movie.
I think it's charming.
It's so, maybe for like the first 5 minutes, but you get in like an hour, and they're still making those
dumb... And all the music is also country music.
All the music is country music. It's bluegrass. It's not like straight up country, but there is like a constant... country bluegrass, like, I'm from Texas, you know, vibe. It's terrible. And I live in the South. Like, this is not something...
You live in Florida.
I lived somewhere else for a really long time.
True.
In the South that isn't Florida. Because Florida's not the South.
Yeah. Florida, I thought you said you live in the South, and I was like, you live in Florida.
No, I lived in the South, and now I live south of the South, which is Florida. But the idea is that I was not unfamiliar. Like, I... heard these people every day. Now, it wasn't as unbearable as it was in this movie, but I wasn't, like, unfamiliar to it. So I can't imagine, like, people from, like, the North listening to this, or, like, especially, like, Europeans. Like, Europeans hate Americans in general, so, like, I don't think they could watch this movie. This is so American, and, like, it's terrible. It's awful to listen to.
Interestingly enough, there wasn't any apple pie. It was just blueberry.
Blueberry pie, which, I don't know, that's American too, I guess.
It is, but apple pie.
But it's not as American as apple pie. But they do have apples, and they have, you know, horses.
The sheriff man has a big-ass hat.
Yeah, they got a big hat.
Big-ass cowboy hat.
This the whole time. Do the hot tin roof cat thing, always, constantly.
What even is that play about? I don't think it's anything
concerning
Southern culture.
I didn't even think about that. I just thought
Cat
of the
on
first...
a Hot Tin Roof is
I just
by Tennessee
the...
Williams.
Well, yeah, I know. But I just thought of the first thing that came to my mind when I had to think of one of those. Because I couldn't think of one in particular, because there's like so many that they do throughout this movie. It's terrible. And that's my biggest problem with this movie.
So anyways, Dixie's just being extra Texan, and she sings the whole song about being very Texan and being a star when you're... Something about, like, when you're at the tub.
I don't know. I think they just said, like, you're replaceable. That's the idea of the song, is like...
I don't know. She's singing it, she's dancing with Todd, and then that's when Todd's... Because Todd's angry that Copper's, like, forgetting about him.
Well, because they made a promise to see the fireworks, like a good gay couple or whatever. And then they... don't see the fireworks because Copper's busy with Cash.
And the singing straight.
Yeah, and he gets jealous.
And he gets jealous, so then he, like, blabs to Dixie that Copper's not actually a stray dog. He has a collar, he has an owner. And then Dixie's like, okay, we just gotta find an owner and bring him back. So he can take Copper back home and I can take my place back into the thing. So they do that, and... she, like, fucks up the fair, which just reminds me, Riley said this, but I'm stealing it from him because he likes to steal my thoughts.
It's happened, like, 2 times, all right? Relax.
Shut the fuck up.
All right, just continue.
Shut the fuck up.
No!
It reminds me of, like, that one scene in Cinderella 2 with the whole thing just takes place in the fair. And it's that one of the short stories where Jack-Jack wants to be a human, and it's human Jack-Jack that wishes to be a rat again because of the big elephant that's gone rogue. It's the same thing. Somehow, the fucking Ferris wheel, out of all things, the Ferris wheel, it always has to be the Ferris. It's always a Ferris wheel.
Well, it's gotta, like, roll, you know?
Every time something goes wrong in a fair, it's the Ferris wheel going off the fucking hinge and just, like, rolling.
Yeah, it's the Indiana Jones effect, you know?
It's so funny.
Like, they had the boulder at the first, in the first Indiana Jones, and then every movie after that copied it.
I don't think it was the first one.
Well, it was earlier on. Like, it was earlier than those two movies, at least. Like, that's what I'm saying. Well, like, yeah. Everybody copies the Indiana Jones thing. There's just something rolling behind you, and you're, for some reason, running straight forward when you could, like, move to the side.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Anyways, so the Ferris wheel goes off its hinges. It, like, crashes the whole thing. There's this whole B-plot where this sheriff man...
It's the Grand Ole Opry, like, judge dude. Like, he's evaluating the talent. And in this instance, he's supposed to be evaluating the singing strays so that they can, like, become famous, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That's the idea of this guy.
So there's this whole side plot where he's, like, walking around. And then when he gets to where the singing strays are about to perform, that's when Dixie crashes the whole thing. And then Amos and Chief are there, and they find Copper, and they're like, Copper, you need to come home with us. And Cash is like, wait, you're not a stray? What the hell happened here? He's like disappointed, and he feels betrayed. Then Dixie's like, uh-oh, I fucked up big time, because, you know, now the whole fair is ruined, and they won't get a shot at singing for the sheriff guy. And
he's not a sheriff.
I'm gonna call him
he's
the sheriff
guy. He's got like a sheriff looking hat, but it's
I'm calling him the sheriff guy.
Okay.
And now they won't be able to sing for the sheriff guy. And then Copper and Todd are back home. Todd has the idea of like looking for the sheriff guy because somehow they ended up with sheriff guy's hat. And so he has the idea of looking for sheriff guy by Copper sniffing the hat and like hunting him down, which he's bad at. We established that he's bad at that. So, you know,
whatever. Look, his hunting gene, like, comes into play, like, right at the right time.
That is convenient for the sake
he's
of
He's a hound. He's gonna be good at it, but he just wasn't throughout the whole movie called? For some reason. What's what called?
When it's, like, in a movie where it's, like, a plot device that isn't...
An ex machina?
That. Sus ex machina.
Yeah, it's usually referenced when, like, someone gets saved at the last minute by something that, like, hasn't come up since, like, the beginning of the movie or something.
Yeah. It's kind of like that. So his foxhoundy senses haven't played a role. Actually, they have. They have played the role that they don't work. And that's why he found his purpose in singing, I guess. But now they work. They find the sheriff guy. The strays sing for them, including Dixie. They sing this song about, like, wherever we are together. It's not a good song. And the movie ends, and everyone's happy. And that's the movie. And it sucks. It's so boring. It sucks. And I don't... It sucks. It sucks. It sucks.
Okay. Yeah, I agree. It's bad. It's unbearable to watch. I think it also...
I only like it for the music. Like, the music is not that bad.
The music is bad.
It's not bad. And especially when Miss Dixie sings her whole song, I like it. She's good.
Okay, I have a problem with Dixie singing in particular.
She's too much.
She's too much. Especially at the end. They're
she's
singing
great.
On top
she's
of
She's good
her...
at it.
No, yeah, but it's... she's flaunting it. It's too much, dude. She
but
is the only one in that band who's like, yeah. She does like, she's like, whatever she's doing, it's too much, dude. Like, she's flaunting it. It's obnoxious. It might get her a better job at the Grand Ole Opry or whatever, but it doesn't make me happy, okay?
It makes me very happy. It's, if you got it, flaunt it.
No. I think you could just, you know, be less obnoxious with your singing in particular. Like, Dixie's definitely the best singer out of all of them.
Exactly.
But... she doesn't need to
she's
do...
She's got to bring it home at the end. They all put in the work, and she's got to bring it home.
She could have brought it home. On the... No, she didn't need that. She didn't need to bring it home with that. Like, she was. She already had the man impressed before she did the whole bullshit where she just, like, is obnoxious and, like, extra with her singing. Like, it's bad. It's too much. And
it's not. Not Dixie.
Well...
she's great.
She's the villain, so...
She's great. She's great.
But this movie, I will never watch it again. It's too much.
I've never watched it again. But I like Dixie.
Everything about this movie is too much. Like, they took the concept of, like, a group of singing dogs in the South, and then they just turned that up to, like, 11. They made it unbearable to watch. Like, I think this is the first movie, and this is saying a lot, because we've watched some bad movies, where I got on my phone in the movie.
Yeah.
As I was supposed to, like, watch it. And I you were like, are you taking notes? I was like, no, I'm on Instagram. Because I'm bored. And it's just a lot to, like, focus on that garbage for yep. an hour.
Yep. I put it on and I don't think I paid attention for most of it. And I still was able to recall the whole plot because...
It's so simple, too.
It's so simple.
It's so simple and boring. Like, it's not fun to watch. It's not fun to listen to. The music is bad because it's all, like, obnoxiously long country songs.
I like the music.
And I like bluegrass. But it's too much. It's too much, dude. It's too much.
It's not too much.
It's too much.
It's not too much.
It's way too much.
It's not too much.
It is. And if you don't know that it's... It's not just the songs. It's the lines. It's the that constantly. Dixie's too much. Cash is too much. The whole group is too much. The music is it's too much.
Okay.
That's it. That's too much.
So on a scale from 1 to 10, you'd say too much.
Too much out of 10. No, I have to give it a grade, right?
We both have to. It's a 2 for
yeah,
me.
Yeah, it's a 2.
It's a 2.
I think in terms of, like, watchability, it's a 0. But in terms of, like, a movie, it's 2.
In terms of, like, compared to other ones that we've watched, at least, I'll agree with your point. At least, like, it's entertaining.
Look, the
it's
animation is good.
It's colorful.
It's colorful. It's not dark.
Yeah.
It's fun.
It's cute.
For a kid, it's cute. Like, the characters are fun.
It's cute.
It's cute. The music isn't bad. It's just too much.
It's just too much.
It's too much. So, like, it's a 2.
It's a 2.
Really bad.
It gets 1 point for one and a 2 point for two. It's a 2.
It's too much. And that's where it gets a 2.
That's where it gets a 2. It's too much. And that's it. This has been a short episode because truly we had nothing to talk about this.
Yeah, I can't believe we got this far, to be honest.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be half of the time that it is. But here we are, and that's it.
Don't watch this movie.
Yeah, there's really... Just take our word for it. It's too much, and just as listening to this episode, you can already know what the hell the movie's about. And yeah, don't watch it. We did that for you. You're welcome.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You're welcome.
Fucking assholes,
you didn't
all
have
right?
to waste your time watching this movie. But yeah, we're brain dead after watching it. We got nothing else to say. And peace out. Goodbye.